You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Texas Rangers. I'm Bryce Paddock with Dallas Morning News, joined today by a special guest, my part two talk with Javi Reyes of Locked On Padres. We talk about how fun it is to be cheering for a good team, how much the Padres social media team hurt me by tweeting out a picture of Jerickson Profar and Yu Darvish, and probably hurt you too as Rangers fans, unless you didn't love them quite as much as I do, which is entirely possible. And you probably didn't take it personally, which you're probably smarter than me for doing that. But lots of great stuff to get to on this talk, a little bit about the state of baseball in general, the Nolan Arenado trade as well, and all kinds of other good stuff, even some Friday Night Lights talk. So, without further ado, here is part two of my talk with Javi Reyes.
And it doesn't help that, you know, we're media people technically, which is so funny for me to say, especially you're like actually like part of a news station and all that and whatnot. But like, for me, it's like, I look at this and I say, wow, there's also some onus on like some media members that I'm not going to call out directly, like which ones it was, but some people being like, wow, like how are the Blue Jays doing this? And it's like, you know what I'm saying? Like you get those pieces, like how are they spending this much money? And it's like, every team could do this. And I'm not saying, I've also said this before, I'm not saying every team has to spend $400 million every year, even though you probably could. What I'm saying is, why are we getting these teams? Like Oakland, did you see the Marcus Semien thing?
Wait, what?
Oh my God. So Marcus Semien signed with the Blue Jays for $18 million.
Yeah.
You know what the A's reported offer was? And shout out Jason Burke of Locked On A's. Everyone go listen to that podcast. He clearly will break this down better than me. But they offered him a contract that it was also a one-year deal for not just lower $12 million, but they said they would pay it to him in increments of $1 million over the next 10 years as part of a one-year deal.
What?
Yeah, at first what I thought it was when I first read it was they said, we'll give you 1 year, $12 million. And then as well, and you'll still be a free agent, but we'll also just as a bonus kick into you $1 million for the next 10 years. But it has nothing to deal with your current deal, right? Instead, it was so it would be like 1 year, 12.5. But then it was like, you also get an extra $10 million scattered across 10 years. And you could also leave if you want to. But that's the advantage of signing our contract. No, I don't even know if you can do that, by the way. But no, it was the former. And I was like, Oakland, by the way, won their division by 7 games this season. 7 games.
They were so much better than everybody else.
Like, they were so much better. They were fun. So I feel for fans. I do not feel for ownership and teams. I do not feel for they're underdogs, yes. But we have to stop lionizing it in a way like the movie Moneyball did, where I actually think Moneyball is one of my favorite movies ever. Like, it's brilliant. Like, shout out Aaron Sorkin and Steven Zaillian. Like, brilliant script and everything, right? Yeah. But I think some people look at that movie and take some of the wrong
messages
from it, where it's like, it's amazing what he did. And yes, Billy Bean is amazing. I will not dispute. Like, I think it's ridiculous. And people, he has a World Series. Shut up. The owner doesn't give him anything to work with. And the fact that he found a way to still be competitive, the problem is, are people watching Moneyball? Our owners watching Moneyball and being like, oh, look,
great. Yes,
look, you can win by not spending anything. And I think that's a huge, huge issue where you're just like, basically, if you're an Oakland fan, what goes through your mind? You're basically like, okay, so we have to hit on seven straight prospects and we have to win. They all have to be good immediately. And then we have to win within like the 3 years.
We also have to trade them at the peak of their value and make sure that we win that trade too.
Yeah, it's like the amount of things that have to go right if you're Oakland is insane. And I think it's ridiculous because it could be ameliorated. They could just be like, all right, Marcus Semien, we'll give you 2 years, 40, whatever, 2 years. Maybe they don't want to give him a long-term deal, but you give, all right, the Blue Jays want to give you 18.
30 mil.
Yeah, 2 years, 30 mil, just something. Make it seem like you're trying because your team is good.
He was top five in the MVP voting like not 2 years ago.
Yes. And honestly, I actually kind of think he should have won, by the way. Sorry. That's my smoking spicy take if you want to clip that out. Sorry, guys. Congratulations. Mike Trout is the best player, but like I talked about this with Billy Thomas of Locked On Diamondbacks. You see how I'm promoting, by the way, Bryce, every other podcast?
I do see.
Yeah. Locked I try my best.
Locked On Everywhere.
Locked On Everywhere, man.
By the way, Locked On Today. Shout out to that.
My take was, Locked On Today. Just great podcast, man.
Yeah,
great
just wait. Just wait until the Rangers do something noteworthy enough for me to be on there. They'd have, like, the team would have to, like, implode. Like, literally, like, the entire stadium, like, implodes and kills everyone. That would be, like, the only thing that would be the way about this stupid garbage team for me to be on Locked On Today.
Yeah, you got
to
get, like, a Dark Knight Rises moment with the stadium.
My gosh. Hines Ward is returning and or just playing center field. That's what
We talked about one thing, my take on the Mike Trout thing. We're just going all over the place. This is fun.
We really are. I appreciate
that. The thing about Mike Trout when he won that MVP 2 years ago now, that I didn't. So my thing was, everyone's like, look at the war, man. And I'm like, all right, like, I get it. His stats were better. But in my opinion, if your stats, if you're on a terrible team, no one's going to talk about ever again. Your stats need to be so much better than who the second place guy is. And I looked at the stats and it was like, if you guys want to do your war thing, I looked it up. Alex Bregman, it's not like his war was 6 and Trout's was 12.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it was like,
we do not stand Alex Bregman at any point.
I know. I wanted to trigger you.
Job done. Job
I'm
done.
I'm glad you caught it. I didn't know if you would catch it or not, but like, Bregman and Semien, right? Where it's like, no, actually, Marcus Semien, Alex Bregman, their wars are like 7, and then their defensive war is like 1.22.
Yeah, no, the reason Semien was so high is because he's next to Chapman. Like,
yeah. But still.
There's a reason he's playing second base. I know.
But let's just look at the numbers, man. Come on,
hey,
let's do it.
Come on.
Hey. So I looked at that, and I was like, I didn't see enough of a discrepancy to be like, guys, the team we talked about that year, for better and probably worse, was the Astros. Let's give it to Bregman, man. Trout was better. I know that. But it was just more of a thing we'll remember.
You got to have Bregman as number 2 because he likes it. He has to live with it. You know, he's going to make it his number because someone had the audacity to take one person ahead of him. You know, I was number 2. Yeah, one person thought that I was not the best. So I'm really going to let that drive me. Like, buddy, get the baseball bat out of your booty, like, and just chill.
Get the baseball bat out of your booty. That's what I would say to us. So that's my take. I think that Bregman or Semien could have won the MVP. I think it would have been a lot more interesting to reward the team that was actually talked about a little bit more versus a guy who was better. Not saying he was not better.
Counterpoint.
But he wasn't enough better for me.
Counterpoint. Mike Trout should have won every MVP basically since.
Yeah, and that's the other thing with baseball is like, And like basketball, we have this thing with LeBron where we're like, could LeBron just win the MVP every year? I think that when you're not statistically like 10,000 points better than everybody, like say Giannis last year, I think Giannis was statistically, like, not only was he a little bit of a story, but also he was significantly better than the second runner up and whatnot. If you're not significantly, then I'm like, let's throw some narrative stuff in there. Aaron Rodgers, some people are like, oh, it should have been Mahomes this year for the MVP. I'm like, well, okay, maybe he was a little bit better when you bring up EPA per play.
It should always be Patrick Mahomes. That's another point for this podcast.
Okay. my Chargers are miserable. They're not as. Shout out Justin Herbert, my husband. But I look at that and I said, okay, yeah, Mahomes, okay. Oh, it's EPA per play. It is huge. I'm like, okay, but is it too much better than Rodgers? I don't think so. So I bring in the Rodgers narrative where I'm like, my man came out here with a vengeance mission. He said, y'all going to draft a quarterback first round? I don't care. I'm going to light the league on fire. That, to me, adds to the story of it. I like stories. We're storytellers. Yeah. So that's how I root on it. But anyway.
Hold on. I have something to circle back to Oakland and Bay. I have a theory on how to fix baseball.
Ooh.
All right. Hear me out.
Do it.
All right. Rich people, if you're listening, billionaires, if you're listening,
yeah,
go buy one of those teams, spend like a little bit of money on good players, and also keep all the same developmental organizational people in charge and say, like, hey, you got a little bit of a budget. You can actually go pay 8 or 2 good players to come play here, win a World Series. Today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. So, why would you endure all the pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning, is your car an LX or an EX, or all kinds of other stuff you don't know that much about cars? Then RockAuto.com has you covered. They are the perfect place to go for people who are self-made mechanics, people like me who don't know all that much about cars. My grandfather would be very disappointed because he worked on cars, but he didn't teach me all he knew about cars, so I just trust that RockAuto.com has me covered. They are a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules, brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need from a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Their catalog is so unique, it's so easy to use. You can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, choose from the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com, they're always reliably low. These are good people, and they know they have you covered on those low prices, and they're the same for pros or do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much on the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck, right, locked on, in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Today's episode is also brought to you by betonline.ag. Are y'all ready for some football? We are nearing the end. We are close to the Super Bowl. We've got all kinds of good playoff matchups. We've also got NBA going on. We've also got NHL going on. We've got college basketball, all kinds of stuff. And you can get in on the action. If you've been sitting on the sidelines, there is only one place that we trust that has you covered. It's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Now, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
See, I don't know, man. You lost me. I pay more money. But it's that really feels like what it is, right? Where it's just, why are we're having a lot of teams that just give up that shouldn't be giving up? And
let Mark Cuban buy a baseball team. He can fix it. Let him buy the Rangers, right? Please, God.
Oh my God, could you imagine?
I can't.
Oh my God.
Like, I'm definitely not pro billionaire, but like, he's the only billionaire that I've met. Not to flex. I mean, a little bit to flex.
Ooh, flex on him. Oh, daddy.
But like, he's fine. And like, he cares about his teams. Like, that's
One
thing that, like, I mean, granted, he definitely gets in the way too much with Mavs. Not that this is a Mavs talk, but like, you want an owner like that cares about your team, cares about your fans, like just a little bit. Like, they don't have to care a lot because they're probably not going to because they're billionaires. They got monies to care about. Yeah. But like, just care like a little bit. And I think that's why we like Steve Cohen. Like, all right, he cares a little bit.
I think that's nice. Like, I'm with you. Like, I'm not going to get too much on like my political takes. Everybody, you can follow me on Twitter, I guess, if you want that. But on political takes on just billionaires and that stuff. But I agree my financial takes. That's a good way to phrase it. Where I think you're right. It's amazing. Like, Steve Cohen just tweeting "Go Mets" is already more of an effort than like the previous Mets ownership did.
Or like 90% of owners in baseball.
In sports. And that's what's so crazy to me, where it's how little he had to do. He was just like, let's go Mets. Like, let's go sign people. And all of a sudden the Mets fans are like, yes!
Can we make this like better? Can we make the Mets experience better for the fans? Like, wait, what?
You want to know Steve Cohen's like on the bad now. He's a bit of the news lately. Like, the Mets is kind of the hype. It hasn't derailed, but a little bit of the hype has kind of subsided a little bit. But I think one of my things is, I agree. I mean, you know, I've grown up, you know, in New Jersey, and it's like, I can tell you, like, Yankee fans are, they don't love Hal Steinbrenner. And I think part of it is because they were like, not that, you know, when it comes to financial takes, not that people love George Steinbrenner, but there was a sentiment around New Yorkers and New York fans where they were like, George definitely at least liked baseball. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he definitely at least liked it. And at least he was like, you know, you could critique him, and I don't want any of the bros getting up in my mentions and be like, ooh. No, I mean, like, you at least know he cares.
How there are Steinbrenner, very few bros listening to.
Yeah, there's very few bros. Yeah. when you listen to Hal Steinbrenner, you get the vibe. You're like, he sees it way more as just a business versus George, who clearly saw it as a business. I'm not saying he didn't. I'm not saying his number one thing wasn't just because he wanted to make a lot of money. But I think he was also like, I want to go watch Jeter and all these guys just kick butt. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. We're signing Teixeira, CC Sabathia, and all these guys. Like, we're signing everybody. Welcome to Yankee. We're winning a World Series. I think he actually cared about baseball to an extent. And I'm with you on Cuban. I think Mark Cuban, like you said, maybe he gets in a little bit of way, maybe, but the fact that I think it's true that they're at the games and they like kind of like the sport of basketball.
Oh no, Cuban loves it. Like he absolutely loves it. He just loves winning and stuff. So
yeah, I mean is it still his picture, the finals trophy on Twitter?
I'm pretty sure it is.
I think it is, and right? I mean, I remember when he put that up and
he was like dying, not being able to like go to like games and stuff. And so like when he could like actually, you know, go to a game and sit in his normal courtside spot, like he was just over the moon. It's still him with his
the trophy, which is honestly to
a very baller, like
I think people forget that was one of the first baller Twitter icon changes that happened. Like I know that's become a little bit of a thing where people like change theirs depending on the thing. Embiid changed his at one point. I forgot what Joel Embiid did.
I changed,
but his was funny. You changed yours this week to something also legendary. I wonder who was responsible for that.
Somebody.
Dude, I literally cackled in the chat, by the way, and you didn't hear me. I went, it's like, because I was like just taking a picture and then all of a sudden you did that little smirk and I just died, bro. I was like, oh my God, this is perfect. This is perfect. But yeah,
I'm
with
some
you.
Guy with, like, a Padres podcast. You should listen to it. It's called Locked On Padres. It's really good.
Yeah. It was just like, I agree though, man. Like when I remember when he changed it to that and everyone was like, baller, like look what he just did. It and he's had it there ever since. And that Mavericks title was, as someone who is, I'm a LeBron fan for sure, which by the way, everybody is, but I remember being like a little sad. I was like, oh, I want to see him get his championship. But then that Mavericks team, really fun title winner, because weren't they like the sixth seed?
Three seed.
Okay. So it's not as crazy, but it was still kind of like, wow, they went through some teams
there,
man. Dirk had the moment of his life and it was great. And it was a fun team. It was definitely a fun person who ended up winning the title. But then, I'm with you. I think that owners be a little bit more like Mark Cuban, be a little bit show. I mean, can you at least pretend to care? Like, I don't even think it's hard to pretend to care. Just
it's
like
really
I said,
not. It's if, really not. And like Rangers,
if Tampa ownership, Bay owner just get gets close. On and he's like, let's go Rays. Like, I wonder how many people would be all in. They'd be like, the Mets fans were so happy. I'm so happy for the Mets fans. They're like, oh my God, he cares.
Few fan bases that's like more broken right now than the Rangers.
Like, what the Mets fans are so sad. I most miserable fan base in sport is probably the Jets. It's Jets or Knicks, one of those two. But when I saw
like,
that.
The Pirates, like, there's some teams that are like, we're just gonna suck. Like that's what it is. That's what it's always been. That's what it's always gonna
that's
be.
Who we are.
We know it. Like until like recently, it was the Browns. Like we're just gonna be bad. That's cool. That's who we are. Pirates. Like if we get a good player or have a good season, we're gonna immediately start tearing it down because that's just what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't have any reason to hope. But the Rangers, like they were kind of like that. I mean, they had the fun 90 teams. Like, all right, we're gonna bash the heck out of the ball. We got Pedro Rodriguez and Palmeiro and those guys, and like that's gonna be fun. And
Puerto Rican power, baby, let's go.
We also had A-Rod for a minute, and like he was really, really good. And you know, he's kind of a dick.
Quietly, really good.
Kind of a D-bag on his way out. That's fine. You know, the prospect return for him sucked real bad. Whatever, that's fine. He was kind of fun while he was here. He was an a-hole, but he was fun. And so,
then there
are
these teams where there's never been anything.
Yeah, there was nothing expected. So then, when in 2010 they had that magical run, and you know, I, as a gift from God, decided that year to start paying attention and watching every single baseball game. Like we're like, oh, we can hope a little bit. We might actually win a World Series. And the next year, we're even better. And they get there and have in the just the most brutal, destructive way that anyone has lost a World Series. Like. Unless the Dodgers had lost like this year, like with the all of the stuff that happened and whatever game that was insane and had the insane ending, like that, it's one of the, like few things that might be like comparable to Nelson Cruz dropping that ball. Sorry to trigger anybody. I didn't give a trigger warning there, but like, and then to like never really get that close again, and even like the two best teams that they have had as a franchise in 2015 and 2016, because they actually had like two like ace pitchers who both got shellacked by the Blue Jays for no good reason in the same year.
Shout out Sean Woodley.
Yeah. So
and AJ Andrews.
And all of our favorite Canadians, which, you know, I don't even feel bad at, like, I don't like hate the Blue Jays anymore. It was just like that 2 year stretch and like whenever they had those same people there. Like I hated them, but like now it's like, oh, they're fun. They're young. There's Vladdy Jr. Like
Go you know, Bryce, the way you talk, literally the way you talk, you give off like the numb energy. Like you've become numb to it all. Where like, if I actually wondering, like as you were talking, I wondered like, what would it be like right now? Like if it was announced Joey Gallo was traded, like what would you, cause I think you would be like, what?
There would be,
I feel like I would see the leave your body.
You would. That is like the one sliver of hope that I have. Cause he has been like, Jurickson Profar was the prospect that got me into prospects, but the first prospect that I was like all in on, like from like basically draft to like major league and like defending him, like talking about how great he is going to be and that has the potential to be, and like ended up being like, that is Joey Gallo. That is my like my star. He is the guy who I have attached myself to for so long.
You've been through the whole journey. Yeah,
exactly. And like the coming out party in 2019 was so just, that's why it made like that season, like even though it didn't end up being that great, but like it made it so special. And what might be the thing that makes it hurt the most is because like if he doesn't pan out and like get anywhere close to that again, which I definitely believe he will and can. But like if he doesn't, then like that's what's going to make it hurt more. It's like he had that like 75 game stretch where he showed that he could and he did. And then if he doesn't, it's going to hurt that much more. So like I am like on the fence of like emotionally preparing myself for like that is a possibility, maybe even a likelihood at this point, but I'm like, I'm not there yet. Like I still have some, if Joey Gallo is still on the Rangers, then I still have some hope. If not, then like things are going to get real dark. Five episodes a week, just Bryce crying with ad breaks.
I mean, it would be rough, but at this point it's almost like, I don't know what else they can do. Like you kind of just got to wait at this point, right? Like you just kind of got to be like, all right, we got to hope that some dominoes far away, some random dude starts to break out for us and becomes another building piece. Otherwise,
that's kind of what it is.
And what's so crazy about baseball is, just to bring it right back around to the Arenado thing, is like, it's amazing how many guys are getting traded for seemingly, I mean, the Blake Snell trade, like the with the Padres, did get some stuff, but then the Arenado thing is like, oh my God.
The Rangers were like in on him like last year, like really? Heavily in on him, like around spring training talks too. Like they were deep in talks. And so the Rangers like played them like at the beginning of the season. They also had like a preseason, like right at the beginning of the season, like the very first games that like didn't count. Those were against the Rockies too. And I'm like, oh, please God, please let us get something. Like, and back then we still had like Lance Lynn and like Joey Gallo hadn't had his poopy 2020 yet. And like, we didn't think that Willie Calhoun was going to be out for the entire year. And there was still some hope on Mike Minor and
the young optimism. Yeah,
exactly.
Little did you know.
And they were so close too. And like the packages that were being floated that year were like much better than the package that getting Nolan Arenado. Mm-hmm. And they gave up $50 million to pay. Like, it's just like, why didn't you?
This is a good example.
Just go do that.
It's a good example of why I always think I always tell people, they're like, no, they don't have enough to get this guy. Whenever people say, I'm like, dude,
everybody
you have
has
to remember
to get anybody at this point.
Apparently, like, right?
Like, I swear
shouldn't be enough, but
someone could go get Mike Trout tomorrow with like not even getting up a top five prospect, because I wouldn't be shocked, because that's how little like people are worth now. Like, just give me like two prospects that like might be okay, and who gives a crap anymore? We'll also pay half his deal. Like, it's just stupid. It's stupid.
I had
for the sport
a true like, oh my God moment. Like I had like a vision last night where it was like the Padres giving up Abrams and Gore for Trout. And I nearly like, I like woke up in a cold bat of sweat. Like I'm not saying, I'm not going to give an opinion on how I would feel if that happened, other than I would probably jump into like nuclear acid. Like I wouldn't even know what to do with myself at that point, but
I'm just,
it's true. You never know who could, you're right. Like Trout could get traded and everyone's going to be like, really? That's it? It could be that. That's what happened with Arenado. And that's what's
the Padres could give up a guy,
so odd.
Could go get Joey Gallo like tomorrow and like not give up one of their top 10 prospects. And I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah.
But as long as Joey would be happy. Like, honestly, at this point, I'm like, they've traded away so many of Joey's friends. Like Hans are like all he had this whole group like coming up.
His
it was like
friends.
Well, like the guy, like he they had such a
I
close
like the
group.
Way you phrased it like
it
that.
Really it is.
All
so like
his friends are gone.
He and Hans are Alberto were like super close. Everyone loves Hans are Alberto, and he's living his best life and smashing the crap out of right or out off of lefties in Baltimore. And like it was like he and Mazzara and Brinson and Alfaro, they all and Guzman too, they all like came up to like they basically got promoted like all like the same levels, and so they were like really close together. And then like they trade Mazzara last year, they traded Alberto and like a couple other guys, and Guzman's probably gone soon, and I'm like just let Joey have some friends. Like you're not good, so it doesn't matter like if they suck a little bit. Oh well, just let him have some friends.
Oh my God, there's something about the phrasing they gave away his friends that just sent me. Oh man. Hey, look, man, hey, you're my friend.
Thank you.
There you go. That whole, you know, yeah, I'll be your friend.
Joey, we're
it's
still,
tough out here.
We're still your friends and we're not leaving even if
yeah.
you're traded.
Yeah, Bryce, I know you're a sad boy. It's really sweet. And I know that your entire happiness is predicated on like just the WandaVision these days. Like what are kind of like some last things you've been doing to just stay sane during the off season? And are there any other like off season takes, I guess, that you have?
No, I just watched this short show. It was actually this French show. I follow this guy, Brian Grubb, on Twitter, who is hilarious and a great TV writer at Up Rocks. But he recommended this like French heist show called Lupin. That's like actually like in French and everything.
I've heard about this.
Like, and it was like, it's just like five episodes. They're all like 45 minutes and it was really good. And I'm like, I don't speak a word of French. I just had subtitles on because it bothered me that their lip movements weren't like syncing up. And so I was like, all right, I can do this. And it was just really fun, goofy little thing. Like I like little dumb heist movies and stuff because they're fun and they're goofy. And like this one was like really smart and like it visually appealing and stuff. So that was what I have been enjoying recently. So
very interesting. Can I, how about, this will be the bit, right? Can okay. I give you a recommendation for something?
Go for it.
Is there, first of all, before I give a recommendation, is there any like mood, you want a movie recommendation? You want a TV recommendation? Like what do you, is there anything specific you're looking for right now? Is there any itch you have? Because I was going to right before, I was about to say Ted Lasso, but I saw that you saw it on Twitter. I saw that. I just finished it this weekend, by the way. And I was like,
so good.
It is. Everyone's, I don't think cliche is a right word for that show. I really don't. I don't think that show is cliched. It has like, but I actually don't think that show is really cliched at all. The only, it's trite and it's like kind, you know what I mean? Like it's very sentimental in that way, but there's a lot of smart things in that show and it doesn't go total. Like this isn't it's an underdog story, but it doesn't go like, this isn't like, you're going to be watching like Remember the Titans or Friday Night Lights season 4 or anything like that. Right. Like it's actually, like, oh my God, where are you in on Friday Night Lights?
I have not seen it.
Oh, doctor! Oh!
Is that the recommendation?
You're from Texas?
I know.
And you haven't seen Friday Night Lights. Oh, Bryce, it's gotta
be. I'm not a cliche.
Oh, because I was just about to say, we need to do a Locked On Friday Night Lights podcast, two of us. Okay, no. You, because I know you're struggling for content. You're welcome, by the way, for being on the show. No, I'm kidding. but this, you could say this is like four parts, but I know off season's rough unless something happens with Gallo. Dude, watch Friday Night Lights. I will literally be on this podcast. I'll talk for, it's one of my five favorite shows ever.
All right.
And it is, it's one of the most underrated shows ever. Okay. It is so good. Bryce.
Like, but so you can't hype it up too much because that's what happened with The Wire.
Man.
That's what happened with The Wire. Like I have been watching The Wire recently. It's like I actually like season
happens.
2.
Yeah, yeah.
I like season 2 the best. And like I'm in season 3 right now.
I haven't
like,
seen The Wire.
I'm just like, it's fine. Like, it's a pretty good show.
Hype.
Everyone's like, it's the greatest show ever. It's the greatest show. Like, I can't it can't live up to that. Because if it
it's
does,
hard.
Then like it's fine.
That almost happened to me
like,
with Parasite. Almost happened to me with Parasite, but Parasite is so good.
It almost happened to me with Ted Lasso too. I just had to take some time and I was like, all right, like I know I'll probably like this. That's what happened with me with like Brooklyn Nine-Nine and a couple other of my favorite shows. Like the show Letterkenny that I just started, which is goofy and stupid and fun.
Oh, Bryce. I don't mean to expose you, but man,
You gotta watch Friday Night Lights.
All right.
And you can watch the movie. No, don't watch the movie.
Because
there's a movie, Friday Night Lights. Mm-hmm. It's like a similar story. You could just watch the TV series.
I do know a fun fact. I'm not sure she's in the movie or the TV show, but Emily Jones, who's the Rangers, one of their in-game like TV reporters.
Shout out Emily Jones.
Shout out Emily Jones. She is in the series as a reporter.
But your assignment for literally as we log off this chat, at least watch the pilot. I'm not kidding. The pilot is it's just so necessary.
If it can hook me with a pilot, then like I'm
for
definitely
me,
in.
This might be raising the stakes, but for me, it's one of my favorite pilots I've ever seen, probably. So at least give the pilot a try, because that's how I got into it. I remember it was like my freshman year of high school or sophomore year of high school. I went over to my friend's house. And he's seen the pilot like 8,000 times at that point, but he's like, we're just going to watch this. And then I went home and like watched the series myself. And then we were all talking about it. It's so good. Wherever it is, I don't know exactly. I think it's on Hulu, actually.
I think it's on Amazon.
It's on Hulu. It's on Hulu.
Okay.
Yep, it's on Hulu. I just remembered because I remember I was talking to my friend about it. So yeah, that'd be my recommendation, man, to get you through the off season.
All right. I feel that. I got a project now. I feel good about it.
Yeah, man. I can't wait. I genuinely think that you're going to like it.
I'm definitely going to be live tweeting through this, so.
Oh, yes, please.
Please do. My mentions as you see fit. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's or these two episodes. I'm definitely splitting this into at least two parts. I don't even know how long we've talked. I think it's been at least like an hour and a half we've actually been talking. I don't know how long we've been recording it. So, you will get quite a bit of this, but we at least did like keep most of our talk on here baseball related. So
hopefully nothing crazy happens in terms of a signing. I have a feeling we're going to get Bauer this week, by the way.
Honestly, I feel like Joey's going to get traded like an hour after like hang up this call. Like it's just knowing our luck, like or some the Padres or Rangers are going to do something stupid or crazy. I just have a feeling.
I'm looking forward to it. I think we're getting some more news this week.
I hope so. All right. Well, that's going to do it. Follow Javi. What's your Twitter at?
My Twitter at is at Javapeno, which is spelled JAVIIPENO. And also check out Locked On Padres. I've been using that account more and more as time goes on. That's at @LO_Padres. Memes and stuff on there. The memes and dreams on my account, whichever you prefer. just give that a check out for sure.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's episode. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.